Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. Let me start off by immediately apologizing for my voice. I'm going to try to get through this whole show. I'm not in any discomfort speaking to you, but my voice sometimes breaks up because I have a cold. But let's start off by saying that this program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Dennis Shore, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's show. One is the very dangerous rise of Senator Kamala Harris of California, who suddenly is a very serious contender for the presidency. There's a real chance that she'll be the Democrat nominee for president next year, and she would indeed be a very tough opponent for Donald Trump next year, for the same reasons that Barack Hussein Obama was successful in winning two elections. She can also put together that type of coalition, and in fact, the demographics are even more favorable now for someone like her than they were in the days of Obama, because this country is becoming more and more non-white. So we're going to discuss that issue, the dangers of Kamala Harris, and what JTF would do in response to her candidacy if she became the nominee. And the second subject we want to discuss, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who calls himself a Kahanist, keeps praising the evil Rafi Peretz. We're going to explain what that means, and we're going to start off with Itamar Ben-Gvir and Israel. As you know, JTF is deeply involved in the Israeli political process. We played a big role in the campaign. Last time, we had over 1 million views for our videos in the campaign. And so we're deeply involved in the Israeli political process. There is a party in Israel that calls themselves Otzma, which means strength in Hebrew. And they sometimes claim to be Kahanists. Sometimes they deny it, and sometimes they claim to be Kahanists. And they're not. They're not genuine Kahanists, because I can tell you, as someone who worked with our beloved great rabbi, Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, that they do not represent what he represented. But in any event, they claim to be Kahanists, and that's a very serious problem, because many Israelis for many years now identify Kahanism with Itamar Ben-Gvir and Baruch Marzel and with the other leaders of Otzma, even though they don't represent true Kahanism. And so there's a distortion of what Kahanism really is because of that. So it's a serious problem. And that's one of the reasons why we support Moshe Feiglin and Zehut. Moshe Feiglin's not a Kahanist, but we'd rather have a non-Kahanist like Moshe Feiglin in the Knesset Then have someone who pretends to be a Kahanist and who distorts everything Kahanism stands for and really destroys the true ideology that Rabbi Kahana represented. Itamar Ben-Gvir is an attorney in Israel, and he's one of the leaders of Otzma, and he ran in the past election that we just had in April in Israel. We had an election in April of this year for the Israeli Knesset, for the Israeli parliament. And he ran with something called the Union of Right-Wing Parties. Now, this union of three parties, none of them are really right-wing. All of them are phony. But the head of the union was Rafi Peretz. Rafi Peretz is someone who hugged and danced with the soldiers who came to Gush Katif to expel 10,000 Jews from their homes. When the soldiers came to throw Jews out of their homes, he hugged and danced with those soldiers. And Rafi Peretz encouraged thousands of religious soldiers, because the religious are now about half of the soldiers in Israel, because Israel's demographics are becoming very religious. About half the soldiers now that enlist in Israel now are religious Jews. And Rafi Peretz encouraged tens of thousands of Israeli soldiers who are religious to follow orders and to throw the Jews out of their homes. Now, What happened in Gush Katif? In Gush Katif, and this happened in the year 2005, 10,000 Jews were expelled from their homes. 40 flourishing Jewish communities were destroyed completely. And essential Jewish land, holy, sacred, essential Jewish land, part of the land of Israel, that we're never, never allowed to even consider giving up under any circumstances. This land was handed over to the terrorists of Hamas, who now use the land that was handed over to them in the Gush Katif expulsion to firebomb and attack all of southern Israel. Half of the state of Israel now is under constant fire watch because they're sending balloons that have firebombs connected to them. And all types of devices are being sent into Israel. Dozens of devices every day, hundreds every week are being sent into Israel. And you have massive fires and people are choking from the smoke and farmland is being destroyed and homes are in danger. And children, now it's summer break, but children couldn't go to school normally and live in fear. Families live in fear. Businesses can't function. Tourism has been killed in that section of Israel. Terrible situation. I mean, horrific, horrific crisis. And it's, of course, because Benjamin Netanyahu, the coward, allows this to go on and is paying. He's actually paying protection money to the Muslim Nazi terrorists who are carrying out these attacks. He is sending them every month tens of millions of dollars. He's paying them protection money, and he's giving them free electricity, free water, free food, free housing, free education, everything for free. He's trying to pay them off and buy them off, and they're responding by taking everything that he's giving them and then attacking Israel and burning down half of Israel, God forbid. Rafi Peretz, he was there when this happened. He's a so-called rabbi and a leader in the so-called religious community, but a really bad type of leader, an establishment leader, one who works with the state and with the authorities against his own people. And this evil person, Rafi Peretz, encouraged the soldiers. He said, you have to follow orders. If they tell you to throw the Jews out of their homes, you have to throw them out of their homes. You have to do whatever you're told to do. Because before, leaders like Rafi Peretz, traitors like him, told the soldiers to do this. Before this happened, many soldiers were saying they're going to refuse orders. There was the possibility of a mass rebellion in the army. And if there had been a mass rebellion, if half the army, half the soldiers had refused to obey orders, that would have created a terrible crisis and could have prevented the catastrophe of the expulsion from Gush Katif. So Rafi Peretz is responsible. Opportunistic, evil, cowardly, establishment, whoring, corrupt leaders like Rafi Peretz are responsible for the expulsion in Gush Katif and are responsible for all the tragedies that we see in Judea and Samaria and the settlement movement in general. And this vile person, Rafi Peretz, was the head of this coalition of parties, and Itamar Ben-Gvir ran with him. He was happy to run with him. Itamar Ben-Gvir never criticized him for the terrible things he did in Gush Katif. Now he's criticizing him. Now Itamar Ben-Gvir is criticizing Rafi Peretz because he claims Rafi Peretz is not giving him a high enough position on the Knesset list. In other words, when it comes to his Knesset seat or advancing himself politically, suddenly the same Itamar Ben-Gvir, who was so silent about all the crimes that Rafi Peretz has committed against the Jewish people, he suddenly finds his voice and goes out and starts criticizing Rafi Peretz. In other words, the only thing he ever criticizes Rafi Peretz for is if it involves his seat and involves his own political career. This is not what Rabbi Kahana represented at all. This is a disgrace that someone who's identified in the public mind as a Kahanist is able to get away with this type of behavior, this type of opportunism, this type of betrayal of principle, and present himself as some sort of Kahanist ideologue, and people get the impression that this is what Kahanism is. It's not at all what Kahanism is. So that's one of the reasons why JTF supports Moshe Feiglin and the Zahut Party and would never support Otzma. Never. Now, I've told you in the past some other terrible things that the leaders of Otzma did. Michael Ben-Ari, Baruch Marzel, Itamar Ben-Gavir, they made up terrible lies about me. They said I wasn't really expelled from Israel, that I could go to Israel anytime I want. I had terrible smears. Terrible smear campaign they conducted against me. I guess because they feared that a true Kahanist who would stand true to principle is a threat to them, because they don't want someone who represents real principle. I guess that's why they suddenly started attacking me, because I was supporting them. Before that, I thought they were Kahanists, and I was supporting them. And I was urging people to support them, and I was raising money for them and trying to help them. And then all of a sudden, they start attacking me with these vicious smears. But in any event, it's just something that we should bear in mind. Why the Otzma Party represents something that is really malignant in Israeli politics. It is not a good thing at all. And they should not be in the Knesset. They are not worthy of being Jewish leaders. And certainly Rafi Peretz, whom they praise now, this evil traitor whom they praise, he certainly is not worthy of being in the Knesset. I'm not even going to say where he belongs. I think you... Let me put it this way. I'll leave it to your imagination what I think should happen to someone like Rafi Peretz after what he did to the Jews in Gush Katif, and after all the betrayals that he has committed against the land of Israel, the state of Israel, the Torah of Israel, and then calls himself a rabbi and a Jewish leader and the head of a party. I'll leave it to your imagination I'll let you imagine in your own mind what I think should happen to somebody like him. I, of course, will not actually explicitly say it, just because I don't think it's beneficial to us for me to explicitly say it, but I'll let you imagine what I think should happen to people that do something like that. Needless to say, a normal people would not allow somebody like this to be a leader and would probably take action against him for what he did. But instead, Itamar Ben-Gavir and the so-called Kahanists are running with him. What a disgrace. Just a disgrace. The second subject we want to speak about is Kamala Harris. She's a senator from California, which, like New York, California and New York are the two super left-wing states now, extreme left-wing states with huge extreme left majorities now. I mean, it's just a nightmare what has happened to many parts of the United States now. And she was, before that, she was the district attorney of San Francisco and the attorney general of California. She was an extreme leftist in every position that she held. Just to show you how extreme left the Democrats are, they asked the Democrats, do you favor giving free health care to illegal aliens, whom they called undocumented workers? Illegal aliens. Do you favor giving them free health care? And every single Democrat raised their hand and said, yes, I favor giving free health care. In other words, they want to give to illegal aliens all the benefits that they never give to American citizens. And of course, if you're going to do that, what's that going to lead to? Tens of millions will come flooding into the country because they're all going to want to get all of these goodies. And Kamala Harris is part of that. But she's actually even more radical than that. She is an all-out extremist. And you see in the exchange that she had with the Vice President Joe Biden. Joe Biden was Barack Hussein Obama's vice president, a left-wing, disgusting fuddy-duddy who, I don't know if people know what the term fuddy-duddy means, but just a guy in his late 70s who his whole life has been a gaffe machine. He's a complete joke, a clown. And he was Obama's vice president. So this is someone who's part of the far left as well. And he now is coming under attack on racial issues from the politically correct crowd, who are moving the Democrat Party further and further to the left. I mean, the debate, if you saw the candidates debating, This was like a debate in the Politburo of the old Soviet Union. I mean, these were all like communists, all debating with each other who's more left-wing, who's more extreme, and who wants to destroy America faster. It was unbelievable. They favor giving free health care, free education, free hospital care, of course, every possible benefit under the sun to illegal aliens. They want to open up the border. They want to tear down whatever fencing or whatever barriers are there now. They want to eliminate ICE, which is the agency that prevents illegals from coming into the country. I mean, the things they advocate doing are so extreme. They would probably destroy the United States overnight if everything that they advocate doing became reality. They make Obama and Joe Biden. Obama was Biden's vice president, and Obama was a pretty radical president. He did terrible things to this country. Obamacare was a catastrophe, and many of the things he did in this country were horrific. The Iran deal, you know, he wanted to give hundreds of billions of dollars to Iran to help them build nuclear bombs, in effect. I mean, this was unbelievably evil what he did, just a treasonous agreement that he signed. And Biden was part of that. But that's not good enough for these extreme leftists anymore. You've got to be, they act as though Obama and Biden are conservatives compared to them. And this is what Kamala Harris represents. She challenged Biden, who spent his whole life fighting for affirmative action, fighting for discrimination against whites, fighting to push blacks forward in a discriminatory fashion, even if they have lower grades. Because let's face it, what did Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama, what do all of them support? They support what we have today, which means that if you're black or you're a member of another favored racial group, even if your score is lower on tests, you will be hired before a white or Asian or certainly Jewish applicant. You'll be hired right away. You'll be promoted right away. You'll never be fired. Nobody can ever dare fire you because then you'll accuse them of racism. You'll be admitted to college and given a full scholarship just because of your race. They say there's institutionalized racism in America. Of course there is, against whites and against Jews and against Asians. Just look at how Kamala Harris pushes the fact that she's black. She doesn't mention the fact that she's only half black. She's half Indian from India, Indian from India, not Native American. She's half Indian from India and half black. But you don't hear about the part, the Indian ancestry, that she doesn't even bring up. She talks about how she's black, 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 because it's an advantage in America to be black for many years now. Obama was only half black. His mother was white. His mother was a white German. You never heard Obama say that he's half white or half black. He went around saying he's the first black president, the first, well, they say African-American president, because it's an advantage and has been for 50 years now to be black. There's no racist discrimination against black people. It's the opposite. The racist discrimination has been in their favor for 5 decades. And Biden has pushed for this. I mean, you see also with Elizabeth Warren. She's 100%, you can't get more white, more WASP than Elizabeth Warren. And she pretended she's an American Indian on her form in college because she knows that that's going to get her in to college and get her hired as a professor and get her a salary and get her promotions and everything else. And then they can never fire her, they can never touch her. If she says she's an American Indian, the minute you say that you're something that's part of one of the favored groups, you're in. That's it. You don't have to study. You can get the lowest scores. You've had cases in the Bakke case. You've had cases where people on their medical scores, their medicals were getting in the 20s. I think they're getting 22, 23% of the questions right. Can you imagine to get a score in the 20s? Imagine if you went to school and your scores were all in the 20s and you're passed and allowed in as a doctor, but a white doctor who has a score in the 90s is rejected and you're let in with a score 70 points below just because you're black? That's what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris support. But Joe Biden, it's not good enough. Because Joe Biden at one point said he was against forced busing. And this was many years ago. Now he's in favor of it. Now nobody would dare say anything against it. But he said he was against forced busing. What does forced busing mean? They took white students and white kids, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, and forced them not to go to their neighborhood school. They couldn't go to their neighborhood school. They couldn't go to the school closest to them. They put them on buses and told them, you got to go to a school in a black ghetto, in a black slum somewhere. And you got to travel a whole hour or two to some school where you're going to be part of a white minority in the school. And I don't have to tell you what happens to white minorities in black in these schools, what happens to them. And you're going to be there, and you're going to be forcibly bused. That was the busing plan. They called it the desegregation plan in the 1970s. And this is since the 70s, this insanity's been going on. And Joe Biden, that he was against the federal government forcing that on communities. He said local communities could do it, which also is outrageous. But he said local communities could do it, but he said the federal government cannot do it. And because he took that stand, Kamala Harris confronted him and made it sound like he's a member of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, these are the same black leaders, Kamala Harris and all these other black leaders. These are the same black leaders that embraced Louis Farrakhan, who said that Hitler was a great man. You remember we showed you a picture of Obama with Louis Farrakhan. Obama got along great with Louis Farrakhan, who said that Hitler was a great man and the entire white race is a devil race that will be exterminated. That's not just as bad as the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party. And that's okay. That's perfectly acceptable. Farrakhan is acceptable. Al Sharpton is acceptable. In fact, Al Sharpton, they will have to run and kiss Al Sharpton's ring. Al Sharpton, who is a vicious anti-Semite and racist, and they all have to run and kiss his ring. This is what the country's come to. Now, Kamala Harris, her husband is a self-hating Jew. And his name is Douglas Emhoff. He's a San Francisco attorney. And he married this black Jew hater. And of course, he's very wealthy. But I can tell you this much. You know our number one issue is Israel. You put Kamala Harris, God forbid, in the White House with her self-hating Jewish husband, Israel will be in a lot of danger. She will press hard, together with a self-hating Jewish husband, for Israel to commit national suicide, to create a so-called Palestine state, and commit national suicide. We can't afford to have that. Now, I'm not sure that Donald Trump is not going to do that in the end. We're going to find out when he comes out with the political part of his so-called peace plan. But if he doesn't, and it's a race between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, we, of course, in JTF, will be supporting Donald Trump then, even though you know that we can't stand Donald Trump, but we'll be supporting him because the Democrats are worse. Look at what the Democrats are proposing, putting up as their candidates for president. This is unbelievable. And you can imagine, by the way, who are they going to blame when all these terrible policies destroy the United States and destroy the Western world, the terrible policies that Kamala Harris wants to do, the communist policies of taking... Kamala Harris, for instance, she wants to take away all people's private health care. You will not be allowed to have private health care. You will be required to have government-controlled health care. Government bureaucrats will pick your doctors, your hospitals, your medicine, your health care. It'll all go through bureaucrats in Washington. That's what Kamala Harris wants to do, just like the Soviet Union. And Elizabeth Warren, they're all advocating this now. And when this terrible tragedy comes and terrible things happen, and the economy crashes because of their crazy policies, who do you think they're going to blame? We know from history they always blame the Jews. They always scapegoat the Jews and blame the Jews. And with her Jewish husband, they're going to say the Jewish husband. They'll probably say the Jewish husband was behind the scenes, was the one responsible for all this. They'll blame him. And again, you put him in the, you put that self-hating Jewish husband in the White House, you can imagine what that's going to mean for Israel. Because I don't have to tell you, these self-hating, assimilated, intermarried Jews in America, they want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy their Jewish background. They're the worst anti-Semites. They're the worst enemies of Israel and the Jewish people. The worst. And so we've got to, Kamala Harris has to be defeated. And these extreme left Democrat candidates, they pose a real threat. You realize how little time we have now till the election? The election is going to be held in November of 2020. So we're talking about a very short window of time. We're talking about a year and a half. We could have an extreme left president. Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, God forbid. We could have some extreme leftist sitting in the White House in a year and a half from now, demanding that Israel commit suicide, reinstating the horrific Iran agreement and handing over to Iran hundreds of billions of dollars in assistance, enabling Iran to build nuclear bombs, creating a nuclear arms race in the Middle East in which Israel will be threatened by dozens of Muslim countries acquiring nuclear bombs in response to Iran. It's just, we're headed to a catastrophe here, God forbid, unless we wake up and act now. That's what JTF is here for. And that's what we're doing in Israel. And we're very involved in the Israeli political process, as you know. We say things that no one else says to the people of Israel, to the Jews of Israel. And in the presidential campaign, we're going to say things next year that probably no one else will say in regard to the presidential campaign. You're going to see a lot of self-hating Jews supporting the left-wing Democrats, supporting Kamala Harris and people like her. A lot of her donors are Jewish. Her husband is Jewish, and a lot of her donors are Jewish. These self-hating Jews who couldn't care less about the survival of their own people, and in many cases want their own people to be destroyed in Israel, God forbid. Someone has to stand up against this. Someone has to tell the truth. Someone has to expose the self-hating Jews, the evil anti-Semites, the extreme left communist Democrats, the Democrat anti-Semites. Someone has to stand up and expose it once and for all. And that's something that I hope JTF will play an effective role in doing next year. And so we're at a critical point. The Israeli Knesset election is going to be held on September 17th. They have a new election again. And so we're going to see in the September 17th Israeli Knesset election what's going to happen. We would like to see Moshe Feiglin become a member of the Knesset. And we're certainly, as we've mentioned to you in prior programs, we're influencing the process there as much as we can. And we then have a big challenge here in the United States as well. If you had real Israeli leaders, it wouldn't be a threat. Because real Israeli leaders would do what God commands the Jews to do, and God would protect Israel, and Israel would prevail. But because you don't have that, we have to be concerned, unfortunately, about who's elected president of the United States. We shouldn't have to be. But we do have to be, because the self-hating Jews like Netanyahu and these cowards, these galut mentality cowards, are running things in Israel. So we have to be concerned, because our very existence is endangered because of their behavior. And so that's what's at stake. We're going to be pushing on these issues and fighting for uncompromising truth. Someone has to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, in Israel and in America. Someone has to be there to do it. And you know that even if it's very unpopular, and even if it hurts JTF, if it helps the Jewish people in Israel, we're going to tell the truth. And we're going to stand for what's right. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.